The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard on corners in town, like a cancer that's silently spreading. There's an unspoken fear, we're on our way down. We must take America back, Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back, as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
We are back. Hour two of the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stadtmiller, on this Tuesday, 26th of June, 2018. And Bob Tuscan is in studio.
Hi, I'm Bob Tuscan.
And this is not Memorex. This is live. Your website, growingfreedom.net.
Yes.
What is, by the way, William Lewis and Gary Franchi, which is, dear Gary, when I first met Gary, I said, you know, Gary, why did you get into this? Well, I used to watch Alex Jones films in my mom's basement, and I just got so paranoid. And then I figured I had to do something. Well, he's run full circle now. Gary's got his own YouTube channel. You've seen it.
Yeah, I mean.
And he's monetized it. And the only thing you get when you go there is politics. That's all you get. But you know what? He's monetized it, so he's making money. So he's safe on YouTube. Don't touch that third rail too much, because you know what? You may be banned.
Yeah, I'm another casualty to, not that I was depending on it, but I'm another casualty to the massive systematic YouTube demonetization that has taken place, where they have broadcasted the fact that they are going to target certain taboo presenters, such as, I guess, myself.
Well, I mean, they're going to be up there to give you the signal that this could be false news.
Yeah.
Yeah, the very people that are entrenched in that matrix are now going to be the guardians of everybody else. Wow.
So how do I put out a film knowing that we're going to spend countless hours, countless Federal Reserve notes, and put a tremendous amount of effort into a project to wake people up, protect them? We're going to show both sides of the equation. We're going to show that they ought to be concerned, and here's why. And here's what you can do about it. And here's what we should work together to do about it. So it's, you know, the Hegelian dialectic, problem, reaction, solution. We're going to provide all of that for them. We're going to lay it out. I'm going to make this as easy for the layman to understand as humanly possible. And we're not going to talk about politics. We're not going to talk about things that are divisive in a sense, where it's going to prevent them from seeing that ultimately, when you break it down, you might say you're of this camp politically or conspiratorially or whatever it might be, but we all have the same intentions. We want to live a life of abundance. Most of us want to live a life of love, and we want to eat good food. We want to drink good water.
Are you trying to describe to us, Bob, the ability just to lead our own lives and control our own lives in a manner which is conducive to us, that we're happy with? Are you suggesting that?
You mean the pursuit
of happiness?
Oh, no. That's an ungodly concept, John. Please don't put words in my mouth.
Sign me up. Can I get this across the counter, or do I have
I'm selling happiness in a documentary.
Wow.
So we're going to start off with the fear. We're going to start off and scare the living daylights out of people, rightfully so, with very practical, rational reasons to be afraid. Because the powers that shouldn't be, they're controlling the banks. They're not protecting us from a massive EMP. Our food is coming in from trucks from thousands of miles away. Most of it's poison anyways. The list goes on and on. I don't want to go into it because the listeners...
They already know.
They know. Then we're going to talk about, well, here's what you can start to do about it. You know, so you don't like that, obviously, right? So here's what we should do about it. And it's not their solution. It's not their exploitation of the Hegelian dialectic. It's something that, it, once again, is sound and something you can do about it and something that's going to bring your own personal sovereignty to fruition. Okay? Because if we want to be sovereign people, if we want to be free people, then we need to act like free people, and we need to actually, for once in our lives, choose to live like a free, happy human being. Because that's what we're fighting for, after all.
So you're suggesting, in order, you've got to act like it. You've got to be that in order to be free.
We're the victim. We're the victim, though. You know, there's so much going on in the world. It's so much wrong in the world. So we don't get to live like that. You know, we don't have that opportunity afforded to us, especially when you're in the trenches like you have been for 400 years.
Yeah, and counting. Shut up. You guys didn't hear that. Mike's in the control room laughing. You're part of it too, buddy. And you're sitting right next to it, so eh.
But we forget. We don't get to live like that.
No,
you know? Don't. So, meanwhile, we're fighting for that. What's the end result? If we can envision a world where we can wipe away all the problems, you know, you name it, whatever problems there may be, what is the end result? What kind of a reality do we want to bring to fruition?
I would say living life full measure.
What does that mean?
That means
I think most people don't even know what that is.
That means making choices that best suit you and position yourself for a happy life, for an uncontaminated life, one that is not being controlled.
Good health. Genuine relationships.
Oh, gosh.
Music.
Oh.
Food. Good food.
Oh.
I like good food.
You're naming the things that give people such great pleasure. Bob, when I first came down to Texas here, I thought, I almost died of a kidney infection because I'm not a water drinker. You very, very seldom will watch me drink a glass of water. So I came down here to Texas. Humidity is low, 30%. I'm out in temperatures 100 and 110 degrees. I wasn't sweaty. My shirt wasn't soaked. Well, it was whisking away from me at record speed. And I damn near died of a damn kidney infection. So what you don't know can kill you, I guess. But, you know, long story short, I learned the environment that I was in. And I made adjustment. And I'm still on this side of the dirt. Now, that might seem trivial to some. But when you take a look at what people and what they're dealing with and still trying to get to that place that you're talking about, to wipe out the fears that could affect them right off the bat.
Yeah.
That's what you're doing, right?
We're trying to. You know, we're trying.
But let me ask you a question. Without those, or without the change that we need, Bob, to take away those controls. Because what we're really talking about is freedom and liberty. You being able to make your decisions. Not a government with a gun standing there pointing at your head. You're either going to do this or this is the consequence. Are you actually suggesting that people just hunker down and make their lives okay and then forget about everything else?
So in 2003, I dropped out of college. And this was at a time where many of us began to expedite our trip down the rabbit hole due to the overwhelming amount of evidence that 9/11, the biggest event, especially in my young life, that we've ever experienced, was filled with lies, manipulation, satanic ritualistic death, and the list goes on and on. I decided I was going to drop off, just go out in the middle of nowhere. You know, I had been doing a radio show, and although I thought that, you know, it was an outlet for me to actually express myself and not just get into fights with random people and family members and actually, you know, try to get my voice out because nobody at that time wanted to hear it. In 2003, to talk about 9/11 in any way counter the official story was extremely taboo. I had knives thrown at me. I mean, I'm talking such hate and vitriol against me for daring to even question the official story at that time. Now, that's changed to a certain extent because now it's become almost marginalized mainstream to be a 9/11 conspiracy theorist, which, in my opinion, is kind of even more scary. The fact that they've kind of put it out as just this, you know, counterculture weirdo thing, right. You know.
Yeah, they're all tinfoil hat.
Yeah,
wearing.
It's just but we don't even get the same response anymore. Now it's just, those are just crazy people. But I dropped off. I went off to Mexico. I got out of college at the time, and I said to myself, I'm going to plant 30 fruit trees. I'm going to live off of fresh, clean, fluoride-free water that comes from the mountains there. I met this couple. They had this land. It all came together in a kind of synchronistic way, and I left the country. I got the hell out of here, and I said, screw it, I'm out. See ya. I'm going to live in a beautiful spot on the beach in the middle of nowhere in Mexico and not be held to the system. At least in this little bubble of where I'm at in Mexico, the IRS can't tell me to pay taxes because I got nothing for them to take. Sure, you know, they could come and say, hey, give me a piece of your fruit. You got 10 apples. I want one apple for every 10 apples you have on your property. But realistically, I felt insulated. I felt a sense of self-reliance and sovereignty. So I'm there for about 9-10 months. And I had an epiphany. I said to myself, holy smokes, I am no different than the same group of elites, you know, I'm doing air quotes, that I despise. I'm no different than the cabal, because when the rest of the world spirals out into chaos, I'm going to be selfishly in my proverbial underground bunker, away from it all, while my brothers and sisters kill each other and eat each other alive, literally. So am I any better than they are? Am I any better than the powers that shouldn't be, that could care less if the lemmings, the lowlifes, the useless eaters kill each other while they're in their underground bunkers living lives of luxury and everybody else is, you know, literally cannibalizing each other? And I said, you know what? I can't live like this. I got to go back. I got to continue my activism. And I came back and I hit the ground running and I, you know, developed a family. You know, looking back, I didn't have a family then. You know, what are we without family? What are we without community? What are we without helping one another? We need to do something about the situation we're in.
You know, you just summed up my argument that I've had for a number of years, because I've had friends and, you know, acquaintances that have pulled the plug and did exactly what you said. You know, when you were saying living in Mexico in a bubble, I'm thinking, who's your next door neighbor? Jesse Ventura?
He was, actually.
Now, I did not know that. That was just a stab in the dark.
He was up the street in Rosarita.
Wow. I did not know
surfing.
That.
Surfing. Cool dude.
And, you know, what you just did was validate my argument for all of these years. You know, it's okay to, I guess, unplug yourself because ultimately it is your life. It is not this government that granted your life. It is not this government that it's supposed to have your terminus day when you got to shuffle off the mortal coil. It's your life. So that being said, people should be able to make their own decisions of about their life. The only thing that they really have borrowed for a short amount of time, and then you got to shuffle off the mortal coil.
Well, then they give you a death certificate.
Yes.
It's like, what the hell am I doing with a death certificate?
It ain't for you.
You know, the government's got to certify your birth. They give you a birth certificate. Then they got to give you a death certificate.
And what do you care about that? Because what? You're
dead. I'm dead. I'm not going to be here.
You're dead.
Take your death certificate and stick it up.
You just did, and thank you, and we did not discuss this prior to the show, folks. This is live and unscripted. I don't script out hardly anything. You just made the argument that what I've been trying to tell people for a number of years. If you think you're doing the right thing, I hope you can live with yourself. You know, you might have walked away from the chaos. You might have insulated or shielded yourself, maybe for the rest of your life. Maybe you're happy about that. But isn't that kind of narcissistic and self-serving? Yeah, but going back to the argument, it's my life and I'll do with it what I want. Yeah, I get that.
Well, I think you need a balance. So when you're on the airplane and the airplane's going down and they say, be sure to take that mask and put it on the children first.
Yeah.
Right? So I think there needs to be, or do they tell you to put it on yourself first?
I think they tell you to put it on yourself first so you can give
That's
your kids.
Right.
Yeah, because if you pass out, you're not going to make sure your child has the oxygen.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So we need to put that mask on ourselves first.
Right.
So there's a balance there. But then we got to put the mask on our children. It doesn't stop there, right? Because otherwise, you know, it's obviously.
But Bob, you just hit upon another subject.
Yeah,
you just hit upon, and this goes through people's minds. Well, I've got to protect my family, so ergo, I'm going to shut up and keep my head down.
That's not going to protect your family.
I know that. You know that. But I still, to this day, there are listeners to this network that have done exactly that.
You know what protects people's families? Guns.
Well, freedom, and you don't have to use the gun until
sure.
you have somebody trying to steal your freedom and your stuff. Get your hands off my itty-bitty. And by the way, if you come for my gun, you know the old adage, I'm going to give it to you one bullet at a time. And I'm dead serious about that. Because if you look at this chaotic world and the control... It's just not monetary control. They have run in many gamuts, but one of the resistors to this is literally that old antiquated, let me see, you hit this thing and it spits out this lead thing and there's explosion. They call it guns. That is the one thing that literally protects you. Now, supposedly our Constitution and statesmen coming into public office, that was first and foremost what they were supposed to be doing. But now we've been reduced to I've got to have a gun because I might be attacked and the criminal might have a badge or they may not have a badge. But they're going to come for the guns. And at that point in time, you're going to have to make a decision. Am I going to stay off of their grid? Am I going to keep my head down? Because what you're going to give up is the very tool that will keep you free, hopefully, for another day, another week, another month, another year.
So get a PVC pipe and line it with, I want to say, tinfoil, maybe? Okay, here's a tinfoil hat conversation. Take that PVC pipe, line it with something. I can't recall the exact substrate to use to make it concealable. Bury it. Keep an extra gun or two in that ground, just in case. And don't register your guns, and buy your guns from a gun show and a private sale, you know?
Try to stay off the grid.
Stay off the grid.
Keep your head down.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. The National Intel Report. Hey, do we get calls on this station still?
Only if they want to call.
They don't want to call and talk to me.
800-313-9443. Let's see if they do.
I miss you guys. Call me.
All right.
No reason to get excited. know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
I'm just an average man with an average life. I work from 9 to 5. Hey, hell, I pay the price. All I want is to be left alone in my average home. But why do I always feel like I'm in the twilight zone? And I always feel like somebody's watching me. And I have no privacy. Oh, I always feel like somebody's...
This is weird. Bob is in there screening calls.
Don't tell anyone.
And a guy called in and said, I want to talk to Bob. He didn't even realize he was talking to Bob. And I said to you,
he does now.
People that hear you on the telephone, about 3-4 weeks ago, I returned a call to a guy, I think it was in Utah or Colorado or wherever it was, not important. But he was arguing with me. He said, you're not John Stadtmiller. And I said, yes, I am. He said, well, you don't sound like him. And I said, well, I'm not on the air. I'm on the phone. I mean, I thought I had to send a blood and semen sample to him, you know, but evidently not.
I'm glad you didn't.
Frank in Utah. Hello, Frank.
Well, hey, I know I'm talking to John and Bob.
No, Duncan, this isn't Frank. I know Frank in Utah.
Hey, there's a couple of issues I want to talk about. Hey, it's kind of interesting because right after 9/11, you know what, I started watching a couple of videos, and, you know, I was living in a small town called Spanish Fork, right up the road, and I was like, you know, I told my wife at the time, now we're divorced, but just like everybody else gets divorced, but I said, we're going to buy some property up in the mountain, we're going to grow some trees, we're going to have a little hobby farm, and I said, we're going to take care of ourselves, because something's wrong. Something is big time wrong. And she didn't see it. So I bought the property, and then I went through a 53,000-acre fire, which burned everything down to the ground. I bought a cabin up here on the mountain. So I had to start all over again. But you know what? All the signs are on the wall, you know, and she still doesn't want to see it. My daughter doesn't want to see it. They're all blind to the issue of what's really going on, you know, and that's, it's frustrating, you know, because my family, and it's, I only have one daughter, and, you know, I'm like, you know what? It's their property too. So, you know, if it does hit the fan, they can always come here.
They will.
I've replanted trees. I've redone everything that I had to do. They have a house to stay in. They have, you know, other trailers. And, you know, my elevation is like at 6,800 feet. Try growing apple trees and peach trees and apricot trees at 6,800 feet. A little difficult. But
greenhouse.
Well, no, I already have three of them. Yeah. But that's where my cabbage grows, my radishes, and, you know. But, yeah, everything's a little difficult at this elevation. I have one heck of a well, which is awesome. But yet there was an ad in the paper down in Utah through a local newspaper, which really scared the little crap out of me, that they wanted to come and put a meter on my well. They were hiring people to go put meters on the well, and I'm like, no, that ain't going to happen. I got the 10 acres. I got a little over 2 3/4 share acres of water, which is a lot of water, right? So I can actually water my livestock, my horses, but yet they want to come out and put a meter on my well to limit my water usage. Now, I live in Utah now, so we didn't have hardly any snow this winter. So, you know, and I actually share a well with a neighbor of mine, which is fine. And I you know, we came to an understanding last week after a little, two weeks ago, we had a little match that I said, hey, we have to conserve our water. And he came to the understanding and said, okay, yeah, that's fine. So, but hey, here's my thing. You know what? I water everything's a drip system that I have. Everything I have is a drip system. But
you're using water responsibly, and you don't need government to tell you how you can and cannot use that water. You're doing it because of practical reasons, because you know that you cannot sustain the food that you're growing if the water's not there. So we're doing it for common sense reasons, but we know, and John, you've talked about it on the show yesterday, that there is an effort to corporatize water, have government sanction that,
yep,
make it illegal to collect rainwater,
yep,
and these water issues, again, going to the root of the issue, literally the root of the issue here with water, it's life.
Yeah.
You know, and you control water, you control life.
Here's the problem. You know what? Hey, in the state of Utah, there was a guy, 4 or 5 years ago, that had a car wash, and he was collecting water on the top of his roof.
Yeah. I read that story. I read, Frank, we're coming up here to break. By the way, my ex-broadcast partner said, you know what, in the future, you'll be able to get any woman you want with a handful of rice, because she's going to be mighty hungry. We'll take the break. 3-minute break. We'll be back.
All right. Thanks, John.
Thank you. Cynical, wasn't it, Bob? Jeez. But it's the truth. There's a lot of people, they're not going to know what's coming. They're going to be stripped of everything.
RiceDate.com.
RiceDate.com. We'll be back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Okay, nurse, let's get this man to the ER stat.
Right away, doctor.
We see this every day. Heart attack or angina pain due to blocked and clogged arteries. Chelation can remove obstructions or blockages from arteries and help avoid painful and expensive surgery. Now there's Angioprim. It's a liquid oral chelation product that you take with juice. You start to feel the results fast. Angioprim increases blood flow all over the body, and that means more energy and strength to take on the day with less aches and pains. 60 years of research has gone into chelation, and Angioprim is the result. A safe and easy way to unblock your veins and arteries from buildup that slow circulation.
Paging Dr. Jones, please report to the emergency room right away.
Log on now for a special radio offer from Angioprim. That's angioprim.com/radio. A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M. Angioprim.com/radio or call 877-882-7221. That's 877-882-7221.
Oh, take this patch off me. I can't use it anymore. It's been too dark to see.
Who are they going to have going out and rounding up the guns?
People from other countries working for the United Nations Special Forces.
Well, if we hang on long enough, they'll be able to create the robots and have artificial intelligence. No one have to lose any life at all, just a robot here and there.
I'll shoot a robot.
In a New York second. David in San Francisco. Hello, David.
Hey, John.
Hey.
Hey, you know that earlier caller, he was right to be talking about 9-11 in all this. I was actually calling because 9-11, you remember the Saudis' role in 9-11, and the Saudis won again with that Supreme Court ruling about the travel ban, because the seven countries that Trump was trying to do a travel ban were the seven enemies of Saudi Arabia. So he's basically saying that the seven countries that Saudi Arabia hates the most, they can get no refuge here. They can never escape to America.
Then why don't we just ban the Saudis?
Well, I know it'd be easier to just refuse to deal with the Saudis. Their criminal operation, they basically were pirates that the King of England hooked up with.
And they become the Stepanfechin for Israel.
Yep.
Yeah.
They're pirates. You know, they're hired guns.
That's
and,
right.
That's the kind of world that they want us locked into, so that the people that Saudis hate the most can never escape to America. And see, that's the fool thing about Trump's whole policy at the border. America was a magnet of freedom. And every revolutionary in the world that wanted to get away from an evil king, an evil tyrant, they could come to America and join up and fight that bastard to the end.
So,
united you stand in America.
So, David, are you suggesting
that made us stronger?
David, are you suggesting that we should have taken Che Guevara?
Well, yeah, absolutely. Don't you remember? Even Fidel Castro was trying to get on an American baseball team, and I think Ho Chi Minh begged the Franklin Roosevelt for guns to keep the French from coming back in. Because you remember, Vietnam was the French had it as a colony. Japan invaded and took it over in World War II. As Japan's getting its butt kicked afterward, the French are trying to come in. Ho Chi Minh is begging the United States to keep the French out so that they can be a country of their own. They wanted to have an American constitution. And I guess Franklin Roosevelt died about that time. Truman didn't want to have anything to do with it, and they came up with the consolation prize that the French and British could try to get it again.
Okay, we went from 9/11 to the French and Vietnam. Okay, where are we going, David?
Well, if America is going to actually change its whole reputation, that instead of being the land of the free and the home of the brave, we're the land of the cowardly. We don't want these revolutionaries coming to America. They scare us. And the fact of the matter is, those revolutionaries are the ones that made us stronger, because no king or tyrant would want to attack America because we were too powerful. Their enemies were here.
David, why don't we try this? Why don't we stop the 16-year war that's really not had a clear definition as to what the goal was? Why don't we just stop killing people in the Middle East? Can we start with that?
Oh, yeah, I agree.
Okay,
sure,
okay.
Let's do it tomorrow, yeah, today, actually. The fact of the matter is, and
I'm trying to clarify here, David. Play the game with me here. Mm-hmm. So who would the heroes be coming from Syria? The people that want to run out of their own country that they're trying to reestablish.
Raised who ISIS was, right? I called your show a year or so, probably 2 years ago, telling you that Dick Cheney's company, Genie Oil Gas, was ISIS.
I remember that call.
Yeah, yeah, and you can prove it. You just go to genieoilgas.com. That's the genieoilgas.com. It's Dick Cheney's company.
Yeah.
And if you go in the upper right...
But that, okay, you're deflecting. David, you're deflecting here. I'm asking you a specific question. What people, the heroes or the freedom fighters that are in Syria right now, why? Who are they, and why would they want to come, the heroes want to come to the United States?
Well... I wasn't necessarily talking about Syria.
Okay, Yemen.
At the time I raised it, but
pick one.
The fact is that true? Like, if you're in anywhere in the world, I mean, the evil king or tyrant was giving you trouble, you could escape to America and find allies.
Yeah.
You know, because everybody hated kings. King said that you've got to do what you got to do, no matter if he's 6,000 miles away.
Or present-day government. I won't.
I don't say that all present-day government is bad. We get along with our city councils just fine out here. We get, you know, good work, and actually the trains do run on time.
Mine puts fluoride in our water.
Yeah.
Well, take control of your government. I mean, if you don't want fluoride in the water, make sure it's...
I don't drink
water
it.
Board meetings, you know?
Yeah.
I mean,
water board meetings? Like waterboarding?
Hey, by the way, that earlier caller, the guy that was a farmer in Utah?
Yeah.
You know, you remember how the NSA was trying to do their big headquarters in Utah?
They got one over there. It's a huge data center.
Well, yeah, if you know about their air conditioning system, they have to
need a lot of cooling.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like 750,000 gallons a day.
Got a ton of computers running in massive data centers.
Sure.
Yeah. They
so
should be
that
mining
farmer
Bitcoin.
Wants to, yeah, that farmer wants to figure out where his water's going. It came from the farmers, because 750,000 gallons a day. You know, I mean, the guy that called was only talking about acre feet.
You well, know, listen, and, you're missing the point here. When it comes down to whether we should have massive surveillance, Orwellian nightmares,
or crops to
or
keep
food
us fed,
to eat, it's an obvious choice.
Right.
You know, it's clear that we need to have our phone calls monitored so that they can hear me tell my friend a very lame joke and talk about what we're going to have for dinner at my house. Oh, wait, we're not going to have anything for dinner.
Imagine the budget collecting everything forever. No wonder they got to have a top secret budget.
By the way,
you wouldn't want to know the price tag of collecting everything forever.
Yeah. And by the way, David, you know, 750,000 gallons of water sounds like a lot of water, but that's only 25 average in-ground pools based on 30,000 gallons.
But that's an everyday demand.
Oh, I know.
And the other thing you got to remember, you ever been up to Yellowstone?
No.
And you know, that's the biggest volcano ever.
Yeah, it's and I've thought about going out there, but when I'd arrived, the damn thing would probably blow.
Just David, sure luck.
David, I
Well, they empty out the water underneath it, and it's going to blow. You know, they got to keep that water in there, and if the NSA wants to hog water, a guaranteed demand, like Fukushima is demanding fresh water every day to cool it down.
Right.
And it's like it's in the utterly wasteful way to do it, and it's guaranteeing the most pollution.
Yeah.
It's like they're totally running it wrong. And Hey, I see you got an ad to get to. Have a good one.
Take care, man.
I don't know what that call was about.
It was about a lot of things, John.
No wonder. I was running as fast as I could, and I couldn't catch up.
Got to keep up, man. These listeners, they know stuff.
You know, it must be my age. Mike in Colorado. Hello, Mike.
Hey, John. That was cracking me up. I feel like the bumper music should be that.
Get the
Twilight
hook.
Zone. Help, I'm living in the Twilight Zone.
Nip it in the bud. We're having fun. We're not supposed to have fun.
I'm sorry.
The New World Order does not want us to have fun right now.
All right, let me be depressed and morose and, okay, jeez, real negative here. All right.
When Mr. Tuscan screened my call, I thought you got rid of Mike, and I was, like, freaking out.
I'm the new call screener.
Dude, I was just like, where's Mike? He didn't answer the phone.
Now, did it sound
like... Did you get rid of him?
Did it sound like Bob Tuscan when he answered the phone?
No.
Yeah, see?
They never know.
Your microphones are better in studio. Firstly, John, you got a donation coming pretty soon in the next few days from me, and I'm not going to call it a donation. It's a listener payment.
Thank you.
Because you're not a charity, and this is a listener payment.
Well, I'll tell you, Bob and I have been discussing matters to do with spreading the word and network stuff, and we've talked about a bunch of different things.
Well, good. Yeah. So keep on it. And Mr. Bob Tuscan, I'm glad you missed us because we missed you too. Last time I heard from you, I believe you had mold on your property and you were dealing with some issue.
Yeah, we ended up moving on from that home. The wife is an extreme, I guess, moldy is what they call them. You know about this?
No.
Mold is for 10% of the population and a ubiquitous death sentence.
Really?
Yeah, and it's everywhere. But there are certain kinds of molds and certain overgrowth of molds that this percentage of the population reacts very strongly to.
Damn it, there's another thing I've got to be afraid of. Jeez.
It's the boogeyman.
It's the booger.
So you got that squared away?
Yeah, we ended up changing homes, and it ended up opening up new opportunities. I went from 2 acres to 5 acres. And
yeah, he called me up to see if I'd burn the old home, and I said, no, I can't commit insurance fraud.
It's called Jewish lightning.
Just call me, Bob. I'd have done it.
Yeah, that would have been nice.
The reason I called you is I appreciate your conversation about personal responsibility. And my question is, how do we get enough people to not comply, not support the system?
Well, one of the ways we can do that is to remove things that would compel them to comply. So the happier they are, the fatter they are, the less likely they are to be desperate enough to be forced into or, you know, coerced into doing what they want us to do. Now, at the same time, that's a double-edged sword, obviously, because the fatter they are, the more apathetic they are. And I believe, like John was talking about with the rice being a great way to attract a date, I believe that we will see a real revolution only when people are hungry enough.
Yep.
And there is a direct correlation with hunger and starvation to people actually standing up and doing something about it. And when you see your kid hungry and you you're going to do things. You're going to take drastic measures. And I think at that point in time, push will come to shove.
Well, and when you guys were talking about guns, I saw a little article on shftplan.com today that there are 120 guns for every 100 Americans.
Isn't that amazing?
The next country is Yemen that has 52.8 guns for every 100 Yemenis.
Yeah,
so
but
they're not going to come get them. They can't.
Well, they're don't say they can't.
Because
they can try. They're going to try. Now, if we haven't noticed, false flags, school shootings, you've heard everything from the claptrap that you probably don't want to hear. We need to give the teachers boxes of rocks. Or one of my favorites is a guy that's running out in Colorado, Bob, that he says that, well, we need pepper spray. And pepper spray will stop a shooter. And then what he does in his political campaign ad, shoots himself in the eyeballs with pepper spray, and he claims he can't see. So his idea was to put pepper spray in the little boxes in case of emergency, break glass, spray it on the shooter. I'm serious. This was legitimate. I had to research to make sure that this guy was legitimate.
That's not a satire?
No, it wasn't satirical. The guy was serious. So, you know, I'm looking at this, and they're going to condition a lot of people. But it's the people that they're going to condition that I don't care about because they don't realize what firearms ownership is about. And, Mike, chances are they don't own one anyhow.
Correct. And the two things that make me embarrassed to be a native of Colorado are that we pass marijuana and that guy even gets to be on television.
Yeah. You know the ad I'm talking about. I forgot the guy's
name.
Oh,
my God. It's the. I feel bad saying this because I like developmentally disabled people. I feel bad because the guy's so retarded.
You know, he would have my vote if I could actually see the ballot box to vote in the pepper spray.
No, I want to give him a demonstration of what a small caliber firearm could do to his eyeballs.
That'll blind him.
Hey, you know, here's a perfect demonstration.
Well, 22 to the left eye.
25 to the right, if I got the time.
All right, guys, I appreciate the show. Keep it up. And Bob, make sure you give out your contact info if you got anything going on the web these days.
Growingfreedom.net.
He's got a website.
Growingfreedom.net.
By the way, Mike, is there a reason why you turned his mic down?
Hello?
He was clipping. Well, that's because he was yelling at me earlier. Okay.
Come on, Mike.
All right, take care, guys.
Take care.
Thanks, Mike. And I appreciate the donation. I really do. You know, it's amazing we're still here, Bob.
I can't believe it.
I can't either.
How many years? 15?
I think we just had our 15th on June 4th.
Wow.
Yeah. And I got thrown off that other network that I created. But that's one of the best-kept secrets out there. Any other guy that's 15 miles from you? Was the guy I first put up nationally, but he'll deny that to his dying day. What's he do? Goes out and marries a hooker. He's been stoned. He's been Roger stoned.
Well, I have no idea what you're talking about right now.
Sovereign man, how you doing?
Oh, no. Watch out now. All the people are calling in. Jeez. Are you still sovereign?
I'm always sovereign.
All right.
Here's a question, Bob. Are your fruit trees barren yet?
Well, that's a personal question, but I'll be happy to answer it. Yes, I harvested a nice, healthy load of peaches this year. The bananas in Florida were just north of the frost.
Shut up, dude.
What's that?
Hey, I said shut up, dude.
Oh,
hey, do you have a mailbox on your domicile?
No.
Hey, man, I'm so proud of you. You're getting there, ain't you?
Yes. I am.
He's come back into the country and he's reoccupied.
Yep.
Hey, it's a beautiful thing.
And Bob Tuscan Jr. still has no Social Security number or a birth certificate.
Oh, you mean he's just like Dozer and Tank from the Matrix.
His real name is Sovereign Boy.
No, he's a Sovereign Young Man.
Sovereign Young Man, there you go.
Young man, an adult in training. Yeah. And do you think... Do you think, Sovereign Man, that he's going to get some good training from his old man?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's really blessed to have Bob as his dad.
You know, I don't know about that.
No,
we don't get to choose our parents.
That's true.
No, but Bob, the parents get to choose their friends. And their friends are around and they get to influence the children.
You know, my mama used to tell me when I'd really piss her off, I brought you into this world and I can damn sure take you out.
Yeah.
And I'll make another one look just like you.
Cyberman, good to hear from you, brother. Long time no speak.
Good to hear from you. I'm wondering if you're going to fill that gap that's there in the schedule. Is he courting you?
No.
Are you courting him, John?
No. In fact, he told me that I was the last person on the planet that he would ever put
well,
in
actually,
spot.
That's not true. That's Bob's twisted sense of humor. Actually, Bob says he can't do Monday through Friday. He doesn't know that he could do that.
I got to work. I don't know what you do. I got to work.
It's 10 p.m. slot.
See, now. No.
John's got plans, man.
No, that's going to be filled and rather quickly. Bob is going to be real selective on what time that he wants and how much. We just have to arm wrestle after the show to see who wins.
Make sure you get a video of it.
All right, then. Sovereign Man, thanks for your call.
Blessings, guys.
All righty. GrowingFreedom.net. Is there an email on there?
Yeah, we have a contact form and an email on there. I'm still at the Bob Tuscan Show at gmail.com as well. But ultimately, they don't need to get in contact with me. I mean,
something pretty desperate might be happening for you to show your face around here, because I've known of you and we've talked for a number of years, but I've never met you face to face.
Well, that's the beauty of the internet. I mean, how many relationships do we have where we've never seen the people face to face? Quite a few. Especially with radio. And that's obviously a double-edged sword, because with radio, and I've always had this affinity for radio. I'm a radio guy, first and foremost. I've been doing talk radio since I was 14 years old. I began listening to talk radio as a child.
Who did you first listen to?
A guy by the name of Craig Worthing and Neil Rogers. They were local talk radio hosts in South Florida.
Wow.
And I will never forget the first ever phone call that I made to a talk radio show. And it's completely ironic what it was all about. So I was listening to the show, and I was real young. So I was real, you know, that first call, especially as a young kid, was quite intimidating. I was shaking. I remember to this day that I was shaking. And they were talking about professional wrestling. You know, like Hulk Hogan wrestling.
Oh, yeah.
And I wanted to call up and tell them that wrestling was fake and that they were all in on it and they were actors playing a part and that all of the rivalry. That was my first ever phone call.
Hell, I knew that when I was 5 years old, and that was how many years ago?
It turns out wrestling's not the only thing that's fake in this world.
Do you think? Well, I the first time, Bob, I had to do a show by myself, I almost threw the headset down and ran. I mean, it's daunting. It's intimidating. I mean, because here you are, and that's all you got. You got your voice, and you've got your thoughts, and you have a microphone in which to relay it. That's pretty scary stuff. Pretty scary stuff. But you felt compelled.
Yeah, and I felt like it was a more fulfilling way of learning and consuming. I mean, look at television. Television removes any sort of connection to what you're seeing. In the sense that in your mind, I don't know how to articulate this, but I feel like there's a distinction there where TV is far more hypnotizing and less fulfilling for you mentally and intellectually.
But television used in its proper way is entertaining. As long as you understand that that's all that it's there for is entertainment.
Yeah, but the fact that with radio you can interact.
That's what I like. And I do not like pre-recorded, pre-scripted anything. I like live, dynamic, what's up next.
Yeah. And that right there, the light bulb went off. Wow, you mean you can interact? You can have discussions? You can, you know, go down all of these different tangents? And that compelled me. And it's a very powerful thing. And I know a lot of people listening right now listen to radio. Despite all of these flashy new forms of entertainment and mind control, they listen to radio because of that. And I will, I'll always have an affinity for radio.
Well, I as well. And we're going to be eating dinner here in about 20-25 minutes. But I need to talk to you about that because you're going to become a rich man one of these days.
No. Hopefully not, because then I'll be a part of the conspiracy.
Well, if you feel guilty about that, wow, what am I suggesting here? That a Jew gives his money up to a Gentile for his own protection?
John Sad Miller has sold out to the Jews, ladies and gentlemen. You've heard it first. This is going to be a symbolic show that'll go down in it. They got proof.
They got
that Bob Tuscan guy. You know, I'm the most self-hating Jew that I know, too.
Do you know what? This might surprise you, but I never got one complaint or suggestion of what you just said. Not once.
About me?
About you.
That I was a Jew?
No. That somehow that you were some self-hating Jew or get that damn Jew off the network.
Really?
Never once.
I get it from both sides. So I get it from those that think that I should automatically somehow be a part of the cabal just because I happen to be born in a Jewish family, so I must be in on it. I must be a part of it, yada, yada, yada. And then I get it from the other side where they say, you're a Holocaust-denying, bigot, self-hating Jew.
Wow.
So I can't win, wow. You know? I interview David Duke on my broadcast, and I'm told that I somehow am either an evil Jew, even though I'm listening to him, and
or
then
you, or you could be a plant.
I like to grow plants, so it's very possible.
You were connected. We only have a couple minutes left here. You want
to take a call? Mike's.
Do we have one?
Ken,
go ahead, Ken. Hi. We got about a minute here.
Yeah, this is Ken down Fort Worth. I've been calling talk shows since 90. I got to Fort Worth. The only thing you could hear was Rush Limbaugh, and he was good. Don't get me wrong. But he never talked about Trilateral Commission, the Council on Foreign Relations, Bilderberg, Skull and Bones. I had no competition with him.
Yeah.
And I could say what I wanted, and it needed to be said. And this was before you guys, before Alex Jones, and before Fox.
There you go.
And the rest of them.
Yeah.
Things
before I was born.
Better.
Well,
we just talk, and things improved, and the Democrats went bye-bye.
Well, hopefully the Republicans now will go bye-bye, and we'll get freedom and liberty back. Ken,
thanks
for your call. I wonder if you ever listened to 1140 AM up there near Fort Worth. That used to be our radio station, and we had Republic Broadcasting on that 24/7.
This went by fast.
Yeah, it did. And now there's something that I could really hang my hat on right there, buddy. Talking to millions of people and delivering what everybody on this network now listening knows, the truth. Whew. Wow. Bob, I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on.
Hey, the website, growingfreedom.net. And Bob might be around with a program on the network.
Nope.
What?
Nope, not going to happen.
What do you mean it's not going to happen?
I don't know. We'll see.
We'll see. All right. Thanks for being here, folks. Please support the network. We'll see you tomorrow.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it. at aroutfitting.com.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.